Happy New Year's.
And happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. It's been 3 years.
We're three years old.
Welcome to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast.
In 3 years, so much has happened.
Oh my gosh. I've been vision boarding. I've been buying crystals.
Ooh.
I've been using a passion planner. I am ready for 2018.
A passion planner?
Uh-huh. I got a passion planner. I don't think I'm using it right because my life doesn't feel very passionate yet, but I got one. I got all the tools. You got some tools too for 2018, right?
I got tools. Yeah. We're going to talk about tools.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about fake nuclear threats.
Yeah.
We're going to dish a little Aziz.
Yeah, a little bit. A
little bit.
We're going to talk about how Taz is single again because it is back in the news.
Actually in the news.
Like actually
not, in the news. Not, we're not joking. Actually news. And I got glasses, and I'm still adjusting to this universe. Hello, everyone. I'm talking to you from glasses land.
Okay, it's not that big of a deal. I've had glasses since I was 12.
Yeah, I really feel like I'm just part of a whole new community.
So you have some big things coming up. Arizona?
I'm going to Arizona.
What?
To perform for The Moth. You know The Moth, KQED. Check it out. I'm going to be performing live. And I'm also performing at Kamau Show at the Punchline in San Francisco. You can check that out if you're at the Bay Area. And I was just named a senior fellow by the Pop Culture Collaborative. I'm going to be working on Comedy for Change.
I'm so excited about this. I'm a big fan of Pop Culture Collab. And you're the first comedy fellow that they've ever had.
I think so.
Which is amazing. I know a few people that have gone through their fellowship. So it's such a prestigious fellowship to get. I'm so excited to see what comes out of this project that you're going to be working on with them.
I can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
And Taz, you have a lot going on.
I have Muslim V-Day cards.
Oh my God. We're going to read these Muslim V-Day cards. They're amazing.
I have been spending all my time on these cards. I feel like I had all these projects I was supposed to do. I was supposed to do all this writing. I have been working on my Muslim Christmas rom-com. A lot of you have been asking, but I've been basically writing my Muslim Christmas rom-com and working on these Muslim V-Day cards. And I have like no other life.
But you have so many other things going on top of that. You're going to be on Terrible Things for Asking.
I will be on Terrible Things for Asking.
You have an anthology coming out.
Oh, that's right. I'm in Modern Lost. That's coming out on the 28th. I'll be doing a book reading in LA for that. I'm excited for that too.
You'll have spoken it into action by the time this comes out.
I'll have spoken it into action. I have a really busy March coming up.
You're coordinating the Women's March in LA.
I'm not coordinating the Women's March in LA.
You're in charge of the Women's March.
I am also going to be president of the United States at this rate.
Knock on all the wood.
You know, I'm so excited about the government shutdown because maybe it'll mean that like Trump stops. I just need a break.
Oh my God. When they said there might be a government shutdown, I actually got happy.
Because I know, me too.
Instinctually, my body was like, really?
Oh gosh, about time.
Thank God.
This is the first time a government shutdown has come up in the news where I'm just like, oh God, I just really needed that. Like, I just really needed a break. Also, like, fuck that. Like, they were having government shutdown and blaming it on Democrats and President Obama. You have a fucking, like, Republican House, Senate, and President. The Republicans can't get shit done and they want a government shutdown. That's bullshit. I'm just so fucking annoyed with it. But also, I also learned that Trump's probably going to tweet through the government shutdown, so I was not.
God damn it.
That got fixed in my head, so. How has your habits been working out? I've been hearing a lot of feedback on our Twitters. People are very excited that you read this book.
Oh my God. This book has changed my life.
Yeah?
It's like my other Quran. It's amazing. This book helps me understand the Quran.
Oh.
Is that blasphemous to say?
No, no. I think it actually makes sense because the Quran talks a lot about how Islam is a way of life and how you're supposed to establish good habits. So I think this actually makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. I'm so glad you said that. Fuck people.
I see that line of conversation going in a direct line. Just kidding.
Fuck people. Like, because my whole life, people are always bagging on, like, Islam for its, like, praying five times a day and all that awesome shit we do, because guess what? They're good habits.
They are good habits.
They just help create structure. They build structure in your day. I realized as I was like reading this book and like following its advice on like creating a cue and a trigger that like sort of sets you off into a routine, a positive routine. You know, I know we're used to hearing triggers as like negative words, right? Positive routines and a reward system and everything. I'm like, dude, this is like prayer.
Yeah, it's like, you know how you're talking about the Muslim points? This is kind of like that point system, maybe?
Yeah. Heaven points.
Heaven points.
Are a great incentivizer.
So what's changed in your habits, like your daily habits? Because we're now 3 weeks into this.
Oh my God. Taz, I feel like a preacher. This has changed my life. I know I literally live in a state of hyperbole all of the time, but like seriously, I cannot express for you enough. I wake up every morning at 7:30, which you already know.
It's impossible for you.
For Azara. What? Yeah. I wake up at 7:30. I make my own bed unconsciously. I just do it. I don't even remember doing it anymore. Hop in the shower. I go for a 20-minute walk in the morning.
After the shower?
Yeah. Come back, have tea, have breakfast, light a candle, and I do 3 hours of writing.
Just straight?
Yep.
Wow, that's really good.
I work on all my tasks. I organize them, which shout out to Jenny Yang for helping me learn how to prioritize in a positive way, in a neutral way, without a valence.
Yeah.
And I bullet journal.
Nice.
And I do this every day. I've been doing it every day ever since I got back from the convent.
Well, you did a retreat at the convent.
Yeah, I did a retreat at a convent and I came back with a lot of really great habits. And I've been keeping them up. And so like I've been thinking about this and you're talking about how you want to like have the practice of joy in your week.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I feel like I'm evangelizing, but I really want you to read this book because I feel like it gives you the tools to sort of like set that formula for yourself.
Okay. I'm almost to the point where you've convinced me to read the book.
Oh, what's missing?
I don't like self-help books.
Oh, there's that.
There's that. Yeah. I just have a hard time reading books right now.
I feel like the Quran is the ultimate self-help book.
It is. I also have a hard time reading that. I am in the middle of halfway through at least 5 books right now, which is very unusual for me because I like finishing books. So I'm just at a point where reading is not completing for me. But that's okay. I'm trying to finish one book at a time. I am actually reading a really great book called All of Which by Bangladeshi Muslimish writer Abir Haq. And it's a memoir and it's fantastic. Totally recommending it for everyone out there. All of which.
Okay, so tell us about your practice of joy. How's that going?
My practice of joy, it's good. Last week it involved a lap dance.
Oh, baby.
So, you know, I feel like, where do you go from there?
Girl, how did I forget even for a second?
That I was in Vegas for Magic Mike Live?
Oh my God. Like, ever since you posted about that, in my head, that's been our whole entire intro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in my head, our intro has just been, Taz!
It was great. Also, this was my second time going. It wasn't my first time going.
This is your second time.
And the funny thing is that I was talking about this with Jenny Yang, and I was like, we should just go. And then we were like, oh, wait, they just got an Asian American dancer named Patrick Packing, which, you know, with a name like that, it was just kind of meant to be a dancer, right? Patrick Packing.
Oh, come on.
So we saw that he had just, you know, become a Magic Mike Asian American dancer. So we're like, well, we can make this a work event now. So we got a bunch of Asian American female media makers and we turned it into kind of a workist trip. We got an interview with Patrick Packing. He was very nice. He was like so nice and friendly that it got a little uncomfortable when we thought he was going to come over to dance, you know, near us. And we're just like, oh, wait, near that's you. Like, you know, like we know you too well now. We don't need you to grind on us.
Oh, baby.
But we got the rest of the people to grind on us. So that was fine.
That's
fine.
That's I feel like that's a sentence I never thought I'd hear you say. Oh. We don't need you to grind on us.
It was uncomfortable. You know, like when you know someone, when you like interview them and you hear about their mom and dad, you're just like, oh.
I actually prefer that when I go see strippers, I want to hear about their parents.
And then you're like, all right, dance. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Turns me on.
I mean, whatever floats your boat.
That's right.
It was a lot of fun. We were in the VIP section, so we got like a great view. I can't believe we pulled this off.
Your Instagram. You know?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, we were Instagram living it. And I was really trying to figure out, I was like, man, I wish there was a Muslim angle to this story.
Yeah, because then I could have been there.
I was like, I don't know what the Muslim angle is to Magic Mike dance show in Vegas. But hey, it was a lot of fun.
I think that's actually it. I think it was to research and investigate whether or not there is a Muslim angle.
I think, you know, we might have to investigate all of the male dance venues.
This is going to be my sole project.
And dancers to see if they are Muslimish enough.
I think it's also
to be covered in this hard-hitting news.
Hard-hitting Patrick Packing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we turned it into a civil rights thing because we went on MLK weekend. So we were like, he is breaking glass ceilings and the leader of the civil rights movement for what he is doing for Asian Americans by dancing in Vegas.
As are you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are going on a Vegas trip as a working woman and you're being like, yes, yeah. This is a part of my job.
Yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy it.
Dance on my lap. This is for civil rights.
I feel like that is a totally fantastic practice of joy. I feel like you
Yeah. I think it's all going downhill after this, frankly. I don't know what can top this ridiculous weekend.
Does it need to?
Yes, I think it does, actually. I think we do need to find something that'll top this weekend.
You're like, no, I need regular lap dances.
I need regular. It wasn't just a lap dance. It was just like, it's a really great show because it's Vegas, right? So like Vegas has fantastic dance shows. So just the way they actually did the storyline, the way they did the acrobatics, like there was people coming from the ceiling and dancing on ropes. Like it was kind of just mind-blowing. It was kind of like Cirque du Soleil in some ways.
I'm obsessed with Cirque du Soleil.
It was like Cirque du Soleil, but with really hot guys and breakdancing. And y'all, just go. Just go. Enjoy it. I even think like the guys will enjoy it, honestly. For guys who like Cirque du Soleil type shows at Vegas, this is kind of one of those kinds of spaces.
Yeah. Oh, Magic Mike is just like Cirque du Soleil. Let's go, honey.
Yeah, I think it'll work.
All right. Speaking of hotties, Taz, why is your being single in the news right now?
I gave an interview to The Atlantic about being single, and they did this whole really long article about Muslim Americans and being single, which, you know, when I was giving the interview, I thought this was going to be a great story, but then they called it How America is Transforming Islam, which is like the most clickbaity title I have ever heard in my life, because that's not really what even the article's about.
It's also an extraordinarily novice take on Islam.
It is a novice take on Islam. Also, when you look at the URL, that kind of like gives it away. It says, Muslims assimilation wedding is like the URL tag up top, which just like I didn't realize I was doing an assimilationist narrative, which I'm very anti.
I also think it's interesting that like we're talking about Muslims, marriage, and foreign policy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there's this one line in the article that I was just like, what is going on? Where it says, on the one hand, you have Muslims, and then it like makes a comparison to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you have movies like The Big Sick, which depicts the autobiographical love story of Kumail Nanjiani, a Muslim comedian who rejects religion and falls in love with a white woman, devastating his immigrant family.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Islam's just like on a spectrum there, I guess, right? It's like ISIS or Kumail Nanjiani. My biggest issue, which is my biggest selfish issue with this article, is that it goes into me being 38, single Muslim in Bengali. It doesn't talk about our podcast, doesn't talk about my career as an activist, doesn't talk about me as a writer. I've been like distilled into this version of like two-dimensional single Muslim woman. Luckily, my ego's not that broken by it. I mean, like I feel confident that people know who I am, where I can have this out there about me. But I think if I didn't have any other things out there about me and this is all that was represented of me, I would have been really upset. I am really upset, though, because it is a certain form of like tokenizing and exotification. It was like, doesn't matter what I've done in my career, it's not worthy enough to even get like writer. I'm just single.
Oh, my God.
Bullshit.
My heart hurts right now.
You're telling me. This is like when I was like getting into like DM rants with multiple people. I was like, can you believe they said this?
Oh, my God. Because I only saw the first paragraph and I thought like, oh, is this there's some funny angle to this?
No. Yeah, nowhere. The only reason why I would do any interview in The Atlantic, because I love The Atlantic, is if I could at least get like something that I've worked on like promoted. I'm not like trying to get into that language just to talk about being single. Like, come on.
Like, I also miss the fact that, like you pointed out, it's also just really mean.
Right?
Yeah.
To like just talk about that. Also, like everyone else.
And distill you that way.
Yeah, I know.
And then also there's this way that like you are a tool for the distillation of all Muslims everywhere.
Yeah.
Because the article about the assimilation of Muslims in the United States begins with Taz Ahmed is 38, single, Muslim, and Bengali.
Yeah, I felt super used in this article.
Also, you're not really supposed to use to-be verbs in the first paragraph. I know it's like really hack comedy to like make fun of grammar, but I feel like I'm doing a service.
Yeah, there anyway. You go, Atlantic. You're unhappy with this piece.
There are so many things that make me cringe about this piece and make me so angry because I just feel like we've been doing this for 3 years and this is the article that I'm reading right now from The Atlantic that foreignizes Islam, dismisses Black Muslims.
Yeah.
And shout out to Ikhlas from the Identity Politics podcast who actually has a really baller quote in here. I like hesitate to take any of the anecdotes from this piece in any kind of like credible way because of seeing how it was totally worked with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Also, like, I wouldn't define, like, the second line is she describes herself as spiritual but not particularly religious, which I feel like is not what I would have said. I would have probably said something like, I'm not a very orthodox type of a Muslim, but I do have spiritual practices because I don't think spirituality and Islam are, like, mutually exclusive in my head. So I just felt like the way that they were trying to, like, distill and simplify everything was really stupid.
Yeah, I feel like that's the best summary right there.
So just in case there's any aunties out there who's wondering, you know, why I'm not telling everyone I'm single, I'm in the fucking Atlantic telling everyone I'm single. So that's out there.
Okay, give me some healing here. I need to work my way out of this. I feel like it happened to me now. Oh my God.
You know what would be good healing is if you went to my Etsy shop at Tazzy Star Shop on Etsy and bought some Muslim V-Day cards, and then you could give love out to six people because they come in packs of six, but you can buy multiple packs and you could spread the love through my Muslim V-Day cards.
Oh, Taz, tell me more about these cards.
You can get them online at Etsy for $12, and they are fantastic on postcard cardboard paper that you can mail.
I just want to point out that right now Taz is plugging her own cards. She's not reading from anything, but she's talking like she's reading straight off a sponsorship script.
I'm practicing my voice. Last year, I read the cards myself, but how about we take turns?
Oh my God, I get to read some? These cards are amazing. I look forward to them every year. I have my own. I always buy two packs.
Yeah.
I buy one pack that's for myself to keep.
Yay.
And then I buy another pack to give to just my favorite people.
Yay. That's how all of y'all should be doing it.
You have to buy two packs. Because when you get them, you're not going to want to give them away. I promise.
I know. And you don't have to be Muslim to order these cards, people.
Everyone loves these cards.
I'm going to try my best sexy voice, which I'm not really good at, but I'll try. Call your representative, then call me.
Cupid dropped an airstrike on my heart.
So fly list.
Wanna role play TSA?
There's no resisting my love for you.
I'd never Muslim ban you from my heart.
Yay, those are my six cards.
I was gonna do some sex noises.
All right, thank you for those sex noises.
I'm sorry, honey.
If you buy these cards, you too will be making those kinds of sex noises. Hopefully a little bit better.
I come with a question mark. Oh, and our job gets harder.
Which job?
I was just thinking about Aziz.
Oh, Aziz.
Oh, man, we have to segue that hard.
We have to talk about Aziz. I don't want to talk about Aziz, but I feel like we have to talk about Aziz.
Well, we've given him a good Muslim award on this podcast, even though he's...
We've also talked about Master of None on this podcast, but we've talked a lot about Aziz.
You know what? He's not even Muslim, so...
Yeah, it's great. I'm just tossing something to talk about is that, like, all of a sudden, this article came out where a woman was talking about an encounter they had with Aziz Ansari, and there has been a lot of think pieces since that article came out on, I believe it was called Babe. And one of them has been the fact that, like, Aziz isn't really Muslim. Like, that whole, is he Muslim or not Muslim, that debate is back up. Because it's always like, well, if he's Muslim, would he do this or wouldn't he do this?
That's
weird.
He's not.
Yeah, it's super weird. But, you know, we're in America, so everything has to be racialized when a brown man does something versus when Harvey Weinstein does something.
Truth.
I have a lot of complex feelings about this.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking layered.
It's very layered. Like, I have some issues with how the article was written. I felt like it was a little, I want to say clickbaity, but I want to also say, like, I don't know. It was just a little bit too not well done as a well-written article. So I think there was issues with that. I also think, like, all this Me Too stuff that's happening in the context of having a president who this week it came out that he had relationships with a porn star who he paid off with lots and lots of money. You know, like, we're in a state of America where we have a president that does that. So I feel like anything under that.
By the way, it's fine to be a porn star. It's wonderful.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with the issue there.
Yeah. My issue is with the president.
Right.
Like the fact that we have a pussy grabbing.
Yeah.
A president that says he's a pussy grabber, a rapist.
Sexual assault. Yeah. Rapist. Sexual assault.
Like all the issues around him, that the fact that he's president, but all this other stuff is coming to light makes me uncomfortable. Just because, like, fine, like, everything else come to light, but he really shouldn't be president still. If you care about Aziz Ansari like this, why is he still in the White House?
Why is he still in the White House? house. I don't understand.
A year since the Women's March and inauguration right now. It is January 19th. I don't know why he's still in the White House. It just really bothers me.
Like, we're basically just in a Black Mirror episode for forever.
Yeah. Hopefully just 4 years, but yeah. Might as well be forever. Yeah, so that's my issues with the season sorry stuff. I'm still trying to work through my issues with it. Like, I think, you know, like, I've been on a lot of bad dates, and I feel like I've been on a few bad dates that are kind of similar to the experiences that she's had. Maybe not that extreme, but I don't know. When you're single, and you're single for a long time, people always say that maybe you're not being accommodating enough. Maybe you're not trying hard enough. Maybe you need to try harder, right? So that's something that women are kind of taught when we're out dating. I feel like when you're coached into this, like, just try harder, you're not coached into saying no. You're coached into, like, well, maybe I just need to be more accommodating. I think that was very clear in the article, in the way she wrote about her date with Aziz, was that she said no for sex. And he respected that, but then she didn't say no for the other stuff. And I feel like, you know, like, I don't know, like, that's, it's very hard when society's telling you you need to try harder to also be like, no, this is where my boundaries are.
I feel so protective of you right now. Like, just, and just even thinking back to, like, times where, like, I've made jokes, teased you about, like, oh, just come on, take what you can get. Like, you know, like, women make jokes like this all the time to each other.
All the time.
And I never also thought about, at the same time, the subtextual message and also narrative that pushes.
Yeah, I lived these experiences and I never really thought of it that way either, because I just thought this was part of dating, you know, that it's just part of dating to, you know, go on a date with a guy that tries to convince you to do things you're not wanting to do.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of, like, figure out a way to get out of the date. And I think the thing that really bothers me about the critique that's coming out is that, you know, she should have said no. She should have left. I think those are two things that are really hard to do when you're in that situation, because you're like, oh, well, maybe I'm not trying hard enough. Or maybe, I don't know, like, you have, maybe she was frozen. Maybe she was too scared. Or maybe she thought she could handle it, whatever was happening.
Like, all of the above.
Yeah. All of the above.
Yeah.
In the moment, it's really confusing. And I feel that for her, but I don't know. I have thoughts.
Man, I'm already feeling my fatwa and we haven't even gotten there yet.
We're gonna get there soon. What are your feelings with all this?
I mean, I'm having a lot of feelings right now listening to you talk about it. Also, my experiences with sexual assault and dating in college, and, you know, times where I didn't know if a guy was gonna stop.
Yeah.
And the mental circus that was going on in my head of, like, well, maybe if I just say I want this, then it won't be rape.
Yeah.
And the guy did stop. It doesn't make everything he did up until that point to make me feel that way okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about too. Because I didn't lose my virginity until way later. But I, like, put myself in a lot of situations where it could have gone in the really bad way. And I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, I'm so lucky in some ways that I was able to get out of that situation. Or, you know.
And you shouldn't have to be lucky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that should just be expected.
I know.
Why are all these shoulds on women all the time? Where's the should on the guy?
I know.
Fucking pay attention.
Yeah. I will say that, like, I think this is also part of, like, sexual exploration, too. That's my other concern, is, like, this is kind of how people learn their bodies and learn to play with each other. And I think some of those experiences maybe, like, I think there's something to be said about being in a situation where you're exploring and playing, right? Like, we're also living in an era where 50 Shades of Grey is, like, one of the most popular books and popular movies that are out there. And that's all about S&M and domination. But there
are 50 shades. It's not black and white. There's 50 shades.
This is true. I mean, I would hope that what people are getting from 50 Shades is learning about consent culture in S&M culture. But, like, I don't know if that's coming across. I don't know. Like, this whole, the spectrum of sexuality and sexual play and sexual assault is all, things are shifting really fast right now. And it's just kind of hard to figure out where I am and where we as a society are. The other thing about the whole Aziz thing is, like, there was, like, a 12 years age difference, right? He was, like, 34 and she was, like, 22. And you're just like, well, that's generationally, there's a lot of different cultures that are happening there too.
I don't know. I just keep thinking about the whole time that this is playing out. There's a woman who her life is sort of being ping-ponged about.
Yeah, that feels really icky and unfair.
Yeah.
Like, we should have been able to talk about this without her having to be turned into this.
Yeah, I feel it's, like, very Monica Lewinsky in a way.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. And it's hard to, like, comment on the article without feeling like I'm commenting on her experience.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's a really fantastic conversation about this. If you guys want to hear more about the nuanced sort of feminist conversation, there's the Feminist Frequency podcast with Anita Sarkeesian that holds a really great conversation about this. I was really appreciative for the way that they were able to articulate it in ways that I was sort of struggling.
Yeah, I myself was leaning towards the Jezebel article that came out about it, which I kind of articulated the why we need better journalism on sexual assault stories. I felt that one hard.
I missed a lot of this because I was at a convent. And that's not even a joke. I literally was at a convent without Wi-Fi.
Yay.
I missed a lot. I even missed the Golden Globes.
You know, no, you know why you missed it? I will say it's not because you're at a convent. I will say you missed it because you are having better habits now. And before you were probably on your phone a lot more. And now that you have better habits, you're probably not on the internet as much.
Thank you, Taz.
I think that's different than being unplugged.
Yeah, that's true. I am on my phone less. I made a rule for myself. I can only be on social media when I'm active, when I'm on the treadmill.
Oh.
Yeah, when I'm biking. Not in the road, at a gym, stationary.
That's good.
Yeah, because your adrenaline is pumping and you have nowhere to go.
Social media is my day job, so I don't think I would be able to pull that off as easily.
You need a treadmill desk, basically.
I do need a treadmill desk. Those are so expensive. We have one more thing for our hot topics. We wanted to talk about Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii, sending you so much love.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe what happened.
I'm in disbelief. I cannot believe that we had a state that thought that it was going to be missiled for 38, if not more, minutes.
Even though they found out that they actually knew within 3 minutes that it was a false alarm, they just weren't able to distribute it to the rest of the island.
And the senator or representative went to Twitter first?
Yeah.
To mention that it was false?
And I can't believe the president didn't even respond. He was on the golf course. Also, why is he golfing so much? I mean, he's probably golfing because he's old and he shouldn't be president. But it's just like he was on the golf course and he said, oh, it's just routine. Like that's what the White House said. It was just routine. But it wasn't routine. There were people scared because it was an accident. It was human error. The guy pressed the wrong button.
Yeah, I just want to mention my grandpa was old, but totally could have been president because wasn't a racist, sexist, rapist asshole.
Who was probably not on the golf course every day.
While one of their own states was being threatened to be bombed? Oh my God, this is your state. This is a state of your country.
Well,
what
yeah.
are you doing? Like, can you imagine the hit to the Hawaiian economy?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's tourism?
That and like, but like Puerto Rico still doesn't have electricity. And that's also a part of America. Just, Anyways.
And it's the 1 year anniversary of the Muslim ban.
Yes, it will almost be. I think by the time this podcast comes out, the anniversary of the Muslim ban is on the 27th of January.
I can't believe it's only been a year. It feels like a decade.
It feels like it's been a really long year. It has been a really long year. It doesn't just feel like it has been a 2017 was a tough year. Where for the Muslim ban, we're going to phase three. I think it's Muslim ban three that's going to get heard soon. I don't know enough of the logistics, but there's definitely going to be a lot of events happening next weekend around the Muslim ban. So keep an eye out for that.
Hey, Taz, guess what?
What?
We have sponsors now.
All right.
Yay.
Let's take a break for our sponsors. I have a love-hate relationship with cooking.
Why is that, Taz?
I hate dishes. I hate planning out my meals. I hate throwing out rotting food that's sitting in my refrigerator.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, thanks for cleaning out my refrigerator that one time, my shame pot.
You're welcome. So we tried HelloFresh this week, and I love it.
I did too. It's convenient, and I was able to order it around my very busy schedule.
I love having to not plan for dinner.
Which is such a plus. You just open up the box and start cooking, and it made me really excited. I was finally using my kitchen again.
Yeah, I also like that you have the ability to choose what you want.
Yeah, I'm always choosing, trying to choose all the meats.
All the meats.
All the meats, and it was really easy.
For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter GOOD30.
And we're back with our Creeping Sharia segment.
What you got, Taz?
I got some hotties, if you're not noticing a theme to my life right now. Our dear friend, Ada Sang, has been working on this calendar called Haikus for Hotties. Actually, it's been like haikus with hotties, haikus on hotties, and this one is haikus for hotties. So there's three of them. And I would like to say that even though this is a calendar that's all about Asian American men and having them be hotties on calendars, the creeping sharia is that I got some Muslim men in here.
How did you do that?
She asked for some people, so I sent her some suggestions. But that's my creeping sharia. Now, when you get your copy of Haikus for Hotties, you will see 5 brown men in here. I would say 2.5 of them are Muslim. So there you go.
2.5.
2.5.
And technically, because they're Muslim, then now you can say, Dad, Mom, I need to have this calendar in support of Islam in the United States.
Yes. So if you want to get this calendar, be sure to check out haikuswithhotties.com. You can follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Haikus with Hotties on Instagram. Haiku Hotties on Twitter.
Their Instagram is fantastic.
Yes, their Instagram is fantastic. Also, if you go to their Instagram, you will also see some photos from our Magic Mike live experience.
So, ooh, baby.
You can follow everything using the hashtag Asian Thirst Club.
I love that hashtag, Asian Thirst Club.
What a joyful 2018 it's been.
My creeping sharia is to creep sharia into Magic Mike for next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's my ask.
Yeah, let's get a Muslim man to dance in Magic Mike. That'd be amazing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I actually didn't interview all of the dancers, so maybe there might be someone who's Muslim, and I don't want to be presumptuous.
Oh, it sounds like we need to go.
Sounds like I need to go interview and have some conversations.
It's a research project. Yeah.
Intimate conversations. Maybe shirtless conversations. Fatwa.
Fatwa time.
Zara, what's your fatwa?
Okay, I changed my fatwa because originally I was going to fatwa red herrings.
Okay.
But then I was like, no, I have a more specific fatwa.
Oh.
Shooting.
What?
Shooting.
Like shitting? Like taking a poo?
It's basically like that.
Shutting?
People shooting on women.
Shooting, shooting, shooting. Oh, you mean like to say should. Like
yeah.
S-H-O-U-L-D, should.
Shooting. Quit shooting on women.
What do you mean by that? You mean like
she should have done this.
Oh, yeah.
She should have done that. She should have done blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, fatwa that.
Should. I should fatwa that.
Mine is people who eat Tide Pods.
What the fuck?
Well, not the people, but I just don't think people should be eating Tide Pods. Also, like, when I look at a Tide Pod, I don't really see something that's appetizing and I want to eat it. But there's apparently on YouTube an epidemic of people that are looking at Tide Pods and saying, this is delicious, and then they're biting it, and then they're going to the hospital.
Back up. What is a Tide Pod? It is not a Tide Pool.
No, it is not. It's like, you know.
Tide, like the detergent Tide.
Detergent. And it's a little plastic thing that you're supposed to put in the wash because it's full of detergent. And the plastic melts away when the washer starts going because it's like a dissolvable plastic. And all these kids are like looking at it and saying like, this is delicious. I don't know how it looks delicious at all.
I saw the sketch, the College Humor sketch on this, which was amazing.
It was so funny.
It's really funny. And it made me get behind your fatwa.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, why are we talking about Tide Pods?
Everyone's talking about Tide Pods right now.
And then I read about it on BuzzFeed and I was even more grossed out. And I was like, I don't even want this in my brain.
And then you saw the skit and you're like, and okay, we can talk skit. About this.
And I so connected with it because the whole relationship human beings have to poison.
Yeah. You shouldn't eat this. You shouldn't eat this. But you're like, oh, why shouldn't I eat this? It's so good.
Don't do this. Don't do that.
Do you have an item like that for you in your life?
Cigarettes.
Oh.
I quit smoking a long time ago. I only smoked for a short period of time.
I did not know you and smoking in this.
Well, yeah. Like I think I've talked about fatwaing nicotine before. I fought with that. Yeah. But just that relationship with poison. And also because I'm like working on my habits and I'm like very conscious of cues and ways that human beings are so susceptible.
Yeah.
To these kinds of idiotic behaviors.
So cigarettes are your Tide Pods.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Like as he was reading all of the stuff about it, I was like, that's like reading about cigarettes.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Where you're like, it won't be poisonous for me. Wait. Maybe just sick adults. Maybe just sick adults in a specific circumstance. Maybe I'll be fine. So, yeah. Fatwa Tide Pods.
Don't do it, kids. Don't do it.
All right. Well, I have an awkward ask.
What is your awkward ask?
Well, it's about reading in the bathtub.
Which is so delightful.
No, it's not possible.
It's possible.
Do you really read in the bathtub?
I sometimes do. I don't like taking baths because that means I have to clean my bath. And that's just, I don't like cleaning. This is a big cycle. But when I go to other places and I see a clean bathtub, I will try to take baths and I will try to read.
Okay, this all started when a friend of mine tagged me in some Instagram post showing Cindy Crawford reading a magazine in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, she is not doing that just casually, like, reading in the bathtub. Everybody knows that women don't actually read in the tub.
No,
and
they
I went to my Facebook and I wrote, reading in the bathtub is impossible. Stop lying. And I have never gotten so many comments in my life.
It was very popular. Lots of people have lots of opinions on this.
It was all over the place. There were women who were like, thank you. And then other women who were like, I read in the tub. I read in the tub today. I read in the tub last night. I read in the tub when I was a little girl and I loved it.
Yeah. My thing is when you read in the tub, the book gets wet and then the pages get all stuck together and then it's just a mess. So you have to like have a towel. You need a method because you don't want to get the pages wet. I think once this was when I was in college and I was trying to study for an exam and I was trying to like really study. I think I put my note cards in a Ziploc bag and I took them into the bathroom to like study them. I was like, no, I need to memorize this.
Wow, that's dedicated.
I know.
I all this time have just been reading board books in the bathtub.
Board books?
Well, they're water resistant. You know, Hungry Caterpillar.
Oh my God.
And Goodnight Moon.
Children's books.
Yes. Colorful. No, ooh. Okay. I can't.
We should make a good Muslim, bad Muslim erotica board book that people can take into the bathtubs.
Oh, that's hot.
It's like, you know, if it's erotica, you don't really need that many pages.
Yeah.
It's kind of what you want to read when you're in a bathtub.
36 pages of good Muslim, bad Muslim erotica for the tub.
And if it gets wet, it's fine.
HarperCollins, call us.
Yeah, we got this.
Abby.
Board books it is.
So my awkwardness was that after the like 184 comments I had on this thread continued, people were like, why can't you read in the tub, Zara? Why can't you read in the tub? Why don't you try this? And like people were sending me like all these little gadgets and gears.
Oh my gosh.
So that you can like prop your book up and not get it wet and not ruin your book.
Genius.
And people were like, oh, it's so sweet to like have a book in the tub that gets wet. And you're like, oh, that's that book I always read in the tub. And it like brings back nostalgia for me. And I get UTIs every single time I take a bath. Every single time.
Really?
Yes. And that was awkward to try to have to explain.
Well, now you just explained it to all of our listeners, so.
I am saying this for the other women out there who are incapable of enjoying baths because of UTIs. It's a thing that happens. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Please tell me I'm not the only one.
Now, I mean, now I'm thinking about what kind of soap to get you.
I can't. I'm telling you, I cannot take a bath. Like, even just regular water, clean the tub, regular water, soap. Whatever it is, I get a UTI every single time.
What about beaches? Like ocean?
Yeah, I'm okay there. Our producer is so baffled.
I'm baffled too.
I don't know what to tell you about my vagina. I don't know what to tell you. She doesn't like it. She doesn't want tub time. She doesn't want it. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's so like... It's,
you don't need to go into it. It's fine.
Like... The only time I can take a bath is when I'm already on antibiotics and then I'm really excited because I could take a bath.
Oh my goodness.
You know what? This is a woman's podcast.
This is a woman's podcast.
These are women's issues.
I know. I think it's just a you issue.
I don't think so. I would like to put a poll out there, see what other women are struggling with this and what solutions you may have. Contact me at Zara Comedy.
Do that. GoodMuslimBadMuslim.com. And if you have all those gadgets and tools that you're sending to Zara, just send them to me. I'll take them. Give me that like book opener thing to use in a bathtub. I'll use that when I get a clean bathtub.
For now, I am just reading board books in the shower.
I have a good Muslim award to give.
Okay, let's hear it.
On theme, it is a very hot man.
Oh, ooh.
His name is Sonny Bill Williams. He is a rugby player.
Sonny Bill Bill?
Sonny Billy Willie? I don't know. And I saw that someone was sharing a picture of him on Umrah.
What a good Muslim.
What a good Muslim. So I feel like he deserves a good Muslim award.
Oh, I have this little clip from Wikipedia that just like amplifies his good Muslimness.
Oh, please share.
Sonny Bill Williams, is one of only 20 players to have won two Rugby Union World Cups.
Oh, so he's really good at rugby. Oh, that's why we're giving him the Good Muslim Award.
Yeah.
He's really great. He's really at great rugby. Rugby player. Yeah. Rugby. Oh, great.
His rugby merit.
Throwing balls.
Love it.
Really good.
So good at that.
He's great at playing with balls.
And he's really good at just hard hitting contact.
Totally hard hitting contact.
Yeah.
And just really.
He's a tight end.
Oh, yeah.
But that's football. That's American football.
It could be rugby, too.
Could be.
Could be. He's very tight.
Very tight. Very, very, very tight. I just want to see him stacked by like 100 men. Just 100 rugby players on top of Sonny.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that, too. I just want to see that stack also. must be such a grind.
Oh, such a grind.
Such a grind. Mm.
Whew.
So yeah.
Oh, my Good Muslim Award.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh yes. Whew. Okay, I have a Good Muslim Award.
Uh huh.
For a person I love.
Yes.
Yara Shahidi.
Yay.
She identifies as, I saw on the internet, half Muslim, half Christian. Both.
Interesting.
Both identities. And she was talking about her family in Mashhad.
For people who don't know, she is the eldest daughter on the sitcom Blackish. And now she has a spin-off show called Grownish, where she's now in college.
And on ABC.
It's on Freeform.
Oh, whoops.
which is an ABC subsidiary. It used to be ABC Family. And it's pretty good. I've been watching it. I watched all 5 episodes. She's fantastic in it. She was fantastic in Blackish, but I'm so glad she is getting her own show.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. I've been saving it to binge.
Yeah. It's fun, like young. It's young, obviously, college-y, but it's fun.
Yeah, just like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what's so interesting is that Blackish is one of the best shows out there when it comes to talking about race politics in this really humorous way. But I think what Grownish is able to do is really hit all those millennial-ish issues that Blackish couldn't really touch upon. So they're able to keep the integrity of the politics.
Mm.
So that's been kind of interesting to watch how that kind of translated. They kept the same showrunner, I believe, for both shows.
That's right. I did read that. My heart just flutters with joy every time that she talks. Because she does such a beautiful job of holding complex space, you know, space for the complexity, like of being Iranian, being half Iranian, trying to talk about issues that affect Muslims and also like finding ways to navigate Muslimness, not as a slur.
Yeah.
In this interview, she's talking on The View to Whoopi Goldberg, and you got to watch this. It's such a great interview. She does such a great job of talking about how it affects her family, making the Muslim ban really real. And there are so many times where I hear Iranians who are in the spotlight or who are in a position with a platform who sidestep their Muslimness.
Yeah.
Who will say, why don't people understand? I'm Iranian. I'm not Muslim. Like as though that makes it all okay.
Right, right.
But she embraces it.
Which is amazing.
And especially saying like her family in Mashhad. Mashhad is a very religious city. And an important city, especially for Shia Muslims. So I'd like to hear even the word Mashhad on The View. I was so happy.
I wonder if there, I mean, obviously her character is a daughter of 2 Black people. I wonder how they're going to address Muslimness in the show Grownish. Because it would be great that if she herself as an actress, young actress, has all these very passionate ideas of how she navigates both identities. We don't really see that translated both in Blackish or in Grownish. I wonder how that, if there's a way for her to bring that in, maybe with other characters that she brings onto the show.
Oh yeah, like 2 modern Muslim women with a podcast.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
We could play college students easy.
Maybe we make a visit to her college town.
We could play a professor.
And we profess.
Profess. We
profess about
Muslimness. I do have to say one of the biggest issues I have with the Grownish is that they have a character named Vivek who's this like Gujarati character, and they cast a half white, half non-Desi character to play this role. Like we have enough young South Asian folks in Hollywood now who are of college age. You could have done the right casting. So I'm a little upset by that. That was bad casting there.
Boo.
Like we're still brown facing.
Hmm.
Still, on a show like Grownish, come on. With someone who's like so amazing, like Yara Shahidi, come on.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
We know you know better. But do watch it. It's funny. It's a good show.
And do have us cameo.
Do have us consult so that you don't make these same mistakes again.
There you go.
We're great consultants.
Especially at our office in Vegas at the Magic Mike concert, which is where our offices are located.
Yeah. That is now where our offices are located. And that brings us to the end of our podcast, but not the end of our show, because we are ready for year four. So we're looking forward to it. 2018, here we come. Good Muslim, bad Muslim.
Woo!
Be sure to check out Zara in Arizona.
Check me out, Arizona. Only the nice ones of you.
Yeah,
and, and also get Taz's Muslim B-Day cards. They're amazing.
Yeah, get them on Etsy. And I'll be speaking in Boston on February 25th. So if you're around, come see me speak. Happy New Year's.
It's a little late for Happy New Year's, isn't it?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey.
And go tell someone you love that they are so fly. List. Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar. That's TAZZYSTAR. And Zara at Zara Comedy. That's ZAHRA Comedy. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarasmith, and you can find us on the web at goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim. Good Muslim, Bad Muslim is a proud member of Potluck, a collective that features stories and voices from the Asian American community.
Holy
Potluck.
I come with a question mark.